listening to Blick on Flicks with Jacob Clark Blickenstaff, brought to you by the National Science Teachers Association. Today's episode, Lost in Space.
What is that?
It's okay.
Will?
He's with me.
Danger, Will Robinson.
We may not be safe here.
Earlier this year, Netflix rebooted the 1960s science fiction classic Lost in Space. The original series ran for more than 80 episodes between 1965 and 1968, and featured a robot with raised arms blaring "Danger, Danger," and at least once, "Danger, Will Robinson." The main characters' names have been preserved in the new series, although some roles have changed, upending much of the sexism in the original. John and Maureen Robinson, their children Judy, Penny, and Will, and Dr. Smith all remain. Maureen, a talented engineer, leads the family. The original Dr. Smith, known for alliterative insults of the robot, was a man. The new Dr. Smith is played by Parker Posey. Both of the Robinson daughters are talented as well, with Judy serving as the ship doctor, even though she's only 18 years old. As in the original, an accident disrupts the journey from Earth to Alpha Centauri, sending the Robinsons into uncharted space, where they crash on an unknown planet. Surviving on an alien world provides many opportunities for adventure and problem-solving. Science teachers could use ideas from the new series to talk about exoplanets, properties of water, and the scale of the universe. One of the most amazing discoveries in astronomy during my lifetime was the confirmation that there are planets orbiting other stars. Astronomers long suspected our solar system is not unique, and therefore many, if not most, stars are likely to be orbited by planets. Only in the last 30 years, though, has the existence of exoplanets been confirmed. As of this writing, more than 3,500 planets and about 2,800 systems have been discovered. Planets are very, very dim compared to the stars they orbit, so direct observation is extremely difficult, though some planets have been found this way. More often, astronomers look for regular variations in a star's brightness due to a planet passing between the star and our vantage point, or periodic motion of the star caused by the gravitational pull of the planet or planets going around it. With thousands of planets now confirmed to exist outside our solar system, at least a few are likely to be the right distance from their stars for liquid water to exist. If a planet orbits too close to its star, it'll be too hot for water to stay around as a liquid. For example, Mercury and Venus do that. If a planet is too far from its star, any water on it will be permanently frozen, say Jupiter and Saturn. A planet in between, where water can exist in all three forms of solid, liquid, and gas, is said to be in the Goldilocks zone, where it is just right for life like ours to be possible. The Robinsons crash on a planet which is clearly in the Goldilocks zone. They immediately find liquid, solid, and gaseous water, and a breathable atmosphere. A breathable atmosphere means oxygen, and oxygen is a fairly reactive element. It tends to combine with other elements either rapidly in fire or slowly in rusting. For oxygen to exist in abundance in the atmosphere, there must be something generating a constant supply, and I suspect the plants. Plants do that for us on Earth, and most of the plants we see in Lost in Space look familiar. This planet has water in all three phases, and life is abundant under those conditions. However, the writers don't seem to understand the properties of water. In the first episode, Judy is trapped in a solid block of ice after a huge volume of water freezes solid in a matter of seconds. There are a few problems with this scenario. First, they show the water behaving like super-cooled water. We see in videos like the one from the European Synchrotron Radiation Facility. You see the link in the online version of this podcast for that. Super-cooled water is liquid water well below 0 degrees Celsius. And that can happen if you have very pure water and you cool it down slowly without disturbing it. An impact will cause a tiny ice crystal to form, and then the rest of the water quickly freezes solid. A swimming pool-sized body of water with many impurities cannot supercool, so we have to assume that the water Judy is in is above 0 degrees C and would be cooled, then frozen in the normal, time-consuming way, as a huge amount of energy has to leave the water. Also, the ice would freeze from top down, not from the bottom up, so Judy should have been able to break through a thin layer of ice. In the second episode, we learn a bit more about how the Robinsons came to crash on this unknown planet. Maureen says a collision sent them trillions of light years in an unknown direction. We've heard how big the universe is, so it might seem okay to say trillions of light years. Unfortunately, that's not true. Our best estimates of the age of the universe put it between 13 and 14 billion years old. That means that the farthest away anything can be in our universe is 13 to 14 billion light years. trillions of light years would be about 1,000 times bigger than the universe. It's not really necessary to send their ship so far in any event. Alpha Centauri is less than 5 light years away from Earth, so why not fling the Robinsons across our galaxy, say 75,000 light years off course? Science teachers who are interested in exoplanets and astronomical scale could use aspects of the new Lost in Space to get students hooked. Chemistry teachers could use the misconceptions about water to motivate student calculations of heat capacity and understand the phase change from water to ice.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website, www.nsta.org, and search for Blick on Flicks.